Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Q&A. I am Coach MJ, your hostess with the mostest. We are going to talk about a little bit about nighttime eating. However, this is a true Q&A, so I want to make sure everybody on this call that's got a question gets an answer. And on today's call, we have the amazing, lovely Kathy Hartman will be here with us in the chat and in taking care of y'all over there. If you have a question for me, make sure that you put it in the Q&A because so I can see it. Good morning from Michigan. I have a friend in Michigan and she came to visit me this weekend. We had a house guest. Texas, Colorado, Minnesota. Oh my gosh, y'all are from all over the dang place. Oh, Spain. Hey, Spain. I love it, love it, love it. Kentucky, Wisconsin, all over the place. Tennessee, Kathy Hartman. I'm South Carolina. South Carolina. My daughter loves Lake Tahoe. It went by very fast, but she's been multiple times because now she lives over in the California, so she can just drive on over. So she's been several times. Oh, looking for some smart ass humor this morning to drown out the blah at work. I hope I can oblige. I hope I can oblige you. Okay. A couple of, well, one big announcement. Who wants a huge announcement? Big and huge. So I know y'all love a good announcement, and you know I can't keep my mouth shut. We ain't supposed to tell you till Sunday, but I can't keep my mouth shut. Okay. So Corinne365, the podcast, has been amazing. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it's on our website, nobswoman.com. Under resources, podcast, that's where you get it. And we have, I can't even tell you how many emails we get about that is so helpful because when I want to hear Corinne, I have two choices, Corinne365 or a 2 hour coaching session on Sunday, right? Like that's your two choices. Or if you happen to get on a workshop, the amazing workshop like we had the other day, and we have heard so many times, I wish I want smaller, quicker. I'm busy. I ain't got time. I just want to listen fast, whatever. We heard you. We listen. We had our listening ears on, y'all. So we thought, how can we do that? Like, how are we going to make this happen for y'all? We are going to start breaking apart the Sunday coaching replay. What does that look like? You are going to start getting, because Corinne coaches like three or four people on that call. We're going to start breaking it out for you. So, like on Monday, you'll get like the first coachee. Tuesday, you'll get like the second coachee, whatever. And it may start on Tuesday, like we drop on Tuesday. So, it'll be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even Friday, depending on how many people she coaches. Why did we decide to do it that way? There's two very good reasons. One, because y'all said that y'all wanted quicker, shorter snippets of Corinne, much easier to digest. And also, when you go on our website and you search nighttime eating, relationships, hunger, all of, and those amazing replays pop up for you. The reason they do that is because when we put a video or a replay on the website, we tag it with like nighttime meeting or urges or whatever the hell we tag it with. So Corinne's call, as you can imagine, because she coaches on a ton of stuff, is tagged with a lot of different topics. So now on the website, if she coaches on urges, it's just going to be tagged with urges. You can go in and type in urges. That replay will pop up for you, and you don't have to look and fast forward. Oh, she's talking about somebody's mama. That ain't it. Fast forward again. Oh, that's not it. You're gonna, if you're struggling with urges and you type in urges, urges is what you're gonna get. You're not gonna get a 2 hour recording of Corinne. So it's gonna help y'all in being able to listen to content, having it more bite-sized, and also it's gonna help y'all in searching for content. So I am super excited. Like, we are doing these like level ups all along. Like you've noticed, we've like added things and done things and whatever. And we are like always on the hunt for What's going to make it easier for you? How can we help you lose weight and feel as amazing as you deserve? Because you know that's what we do around here. Just what do y'all need? What are y'all asking for? And so you asked for it. Bite-sized Corinne, we're giving you bite-sized Corinne. You've asked for easier search on the website. Damn it, that's what you're going to get. Because if you ask for it, we get it for y'all. So, I'm very excited. So this is going to happen starting with this Sunday's call. So you're going to notice the drip coming next week. I'm super excited about it. Yeah, we are. Randy, I'm going to tell you, guess who's writing the call descriptions now? Me. I'm going to make them sexy and fun-ish. And you're going to know exactly what the description is on each one. Girl, listen. I ain't no joke around here. I'm getting it done. I am getting it done. We're gonna level the whole kit and caboodle up, y'all. Can't wait. Okay, let's get to why we're here. It is a Q&A, but I do want to talk. I mean, I always preach a little bit about whatever. And so this, love your mug. Thank you. One of my children in high school went on a field trip and brought this back to me. This was a field trip gift. I've never been to Wilmington. No, that's a lie. I've been to the Wilmington Airport. Okay. I want to talk about my very, very favorite part of the nighttime eating workshop. Why is it my favorite part of the nighttime eating workshop? Because it doesn't just apply to nighttime eating. So if you went to the nighttime eating workshop and you're like, girl, I don't eat at night, I close my kitchen, I'm good to go. That is not my problem. There's another, you have an issue somewhere else, I'm assuming. So the third video or audio or whatever, by the way, if you're looking for it, it's under courses. That's where the course lives. But the podcast is under the Pathways and Bonus Course podcast. So if you're in your first 30 days, you don't have access to the podcast, but you do have access to the video recordings on the website. Just letting you know that. Shifting your identity. This was so big for me. I've listened to this video about seven times. This is what helped me the most. And it hit me several years ago. I heard Brené Brown tell the story about this child whose teacher said, like she was playing with something and knocked stuff down. And the teacher said, "You're messy." And the child said, "I am not messy. I made a mess." Do you hear the difference, y'all? You are, I am, that's who I am at my core. I am messy. Or, no, I made a mess. That's different. Okay. The reason I love this shifting the identity is, believe it or not, you are what you tell yourself you are. A belief is just a thought that you think over and over and over again till it becomes a belief in who you are. So when you say, I am a nighttime eater, I am not a planner, right? I always overeat on the weekends. The more you say that, the deeper and stronger that belief becomes. So we have got to change our identity. And Corinne gave us steps on how to do that. And I really just want to focus on that first step because I think it is so important. So you got to catch those old shitties and start telling yourself, as far as nighttime eating, I'm becoming a person who doesn't eat at night. Didn't say I am a person who doesn't eat at night. It doesn't say I'm never going to eat at night again. It just said I am becoming a person who doesn't eat at night. And the one thing that Corinne offered in this video that I loved so much is to close your eyes and see if you believe it. It's like, you hear thoughts. We'll offer you thoughts. You go to ask coaches, we'll give you a thought. You go in Facebook, we'll offer you a thought. We do all these thoughts. But thoughts are like shoes. You must try them on and see if they fit. What thought works for me Might not work for you. It might not work for Kathy. You've got to check in and see if you have an ounce of belief in it. Because if you don't, and you're trying to shift your identity, because you have a strong, you believe it is the honest to God, hand to God truth that I am a nighttime eater because you've said it for so long. So you at least want a kernel of truth in the new thought you're trying to think. Coach Betsy uses a greatest example of like, it's like a hook when you're climbing a mountain. I don't know much about it, but you want the new thought to be something you can sink your hook into. You don't want it to be so far out of reach that you just don't believe it. So Corinne even said, you could, like, if you're eating, if you notice that you ate and you've been telling yourself, I'm going to become a per I'm becoming a person who doesn't eat at night. And then you eat at night because you're not going to be perfect because, you know, none of us are. Then you just ask yourself, what would a person who doesn't eat at night do right now? Would they drink water? Would they go for a walk? Would they go lay down in the bed? I can promise you they wouldn't go back and eat and say, fuck it, and keep eating. And I just love that so much. And she even gives us some other thoughts. There are times that I lose control at night, and sometimes I don't. There are times that I still eat at night, but I'm still working on that. And I will become someone who doesn't eat at night. But you have got to check in with yourself anytime, no matter where you are in this membership. If I say, you know, here's a good thought for you, stop. Just because I said it was a good thought for you, if it does not feel believable, if it does not feel true, and it does not feel authentic to you, it ain't your thought. It's not your thought. Like Corinne has a great one. You know, better in the trash than on my ass, right? Or a great one, Kathy Hartman. Kathy Hartman doesn't say the F word ever. So, Corinne's favorite saying, why fuck up the day when saving it is an option? That's not Kathy Hartman's thought. It works for Corinne. It works for a lot of people in this membership, but you're not gonna hear Kathy Hartman say that. That's not her thought. She has to come up with a different thought. Because that is not who she is. So checking in with that thought is so important because if you don't believe it, if it doesn't feel authentic to you, you are never going to use it. Never. And so work with a thought, become the person. I am, you know, sometimes I lose control and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I eat at night and sometimes I don't. And I'm working on leveling that up. That's a great thought to think. If you can get your hook in it, that's your thought. And y'all, when you understand that, you finally understand why diets never worked. Because why? Because we had to upend our lives and we thought that we had to turn on the switch and be this person who did it perfectly, who never overate. Who, like, just because I declared it makes it so. And that is not how you change your identity around anything. It's just not. It's not how it works. And so I want y'all, anybody, I don't care if it's nighttime eating or whatever. I mean, let's go in there in a Facebook group or in Ask Coaches and share what thought works for you. What is your, I believe this enough that I'm going to use it, whether it's with planning or water or ice cream or parties. For me, this used to be my thought. All I do is at parties is graze. I'm just a grazer. That didn't help me because then whenever I went to a party, what did I do? I grazed because that's who I was. I had to work on that. And what was my thought? Cows graze. I do not. Thought worked for me, might not work for you. Did I ever graze after I had that thought? Yep, sure did. Sure did. And then what did I have to find? A little bit of compassion for myself. Just because I grazed does not mean that I am now a grazer again. I get to make a different choice next time because I'm still a person who doesn't graze. I'm not a cow. And that is how you start to shift your identity. It's not a click of the finger. It's not ba-bam, I've decided I'm not going to eat at night, or I've decided I'm not going to graze, or I've decided I'm not whatever it is. I've decided, if you're a person who pulls into Starbucks every day and you don't want to, I'm becoming a person who doesn't stop at Starbucks every freaking day. Just, I'm never going to stop at Starbucks again. Because how often have we done that? Like, I'm never going to eat at night again. That's just setting yourself up for failure. First of all, you don't believe it. It's not a level up. Or I'm never going to eat carbs again. How many of us have done that? I'm never going to eat carbs again. I'm never going to, honey, I got like vegan and vegetarian and all them cookbooks in there. All the bullshit I made my family try. But it was so hard to get our hook into becoming that person because we were so far off from that person. We got to start like inching our way over to that person, right? Like inch our way over, a little bit of scooch over. That person who doesn't eat at night is over here. We are way over here. We can't just go sit in their lap right now. We got to scooch on over. Scooch on over. And eventually we'll get there. But what we've always tried to do is just boom, boom. That ain't gonna work, y'all. So that is one reason, because I have talked to several people that are like, nighttime eating isn't my issue. But that is what is so amazing about no BS. You don't, this shift in your identity, if you are not a nighttime eater, go listen to that video, lesson three, in that first teaching module that Corinne does, because it applies to everything else. Take out nighttime overeating and insert whatever else. All of this stuff applies in so many areas. And if you're ever stuck, like you're like, I want to, like if you don't see how something applies to you, ask us, we'll tell you. Because that lesson, you're gonna take this lesson, you're gonna conquer your nighttime eating, you're gonna take this lesson and apply it to the next thing. And then you're going to take this lesson and apply it to something else. Because this is how you change your life. That lesson three right there. And its best friend is in the No BS Weight Loss course, consistency versus perfection. Because you will still overeat at night. I did still graze. But perfection says I have to give up. Consistency says, I just dust myself off and try again. Because remember, we're scooching. That is how all of this is coming together, y'all. That consistency versus perfection, you need that in the foundational course so that whenever you come over here to switch your identity and change who you are, you know how to move into that consistency piece instead of that perfection piece. That's why we always tell new members, go through that foundational course because everything else we talk about is built off of that. And that's my favorite lesson in No BS. If anybody wants to go back and give it a listen. Yes, I love this in the chat. Because y'all are talking about things other than like nighttime eating, which I love so much. I mean, it's a huge struggle for a lot of you, but it's not a huge struggle for everybody. But that doesn't mean that what she teaches in here does not apply to you, because it does. It applies to my own. I'm not a nighttime eater. It applies to me in so many areas. All right. I've talked a little longer than I meant to. All right. I'm going to get over to the questions. I'm going to hop on over to the questions. Yeah, Annette said the reason you eat at night are the same reasons you eat in the afternoon. If you are a person who eats every day, like a raccoon when they come home from work, I'm becoming a person who, right, does not eat in between meals, whatever it is. I know I took listen, Vanessa, scooching is definitely a word, and we use it a lot in the South. But I've heard people don't use scooching in other places. I don't know. Anonymous says, when I make a plan, I write down all the things I think I may want to eat for the day. I imagine this isn't the correct way to do the plan. Well, you're imagining wrong, Anonymous. That's exactly how you can do a plan. That is perfect. I just want to make sure something comes up. I have it covered. Perfect. Is that okay if I only eat it if I'm hungry? That's absolutely perfect. Think of that as your menu for the day, 100%. And then once you get better with doable hunger and a little bit more comfortable, and you collect those wins, which is also in the three that Corinne talking about, right? You might be like, you know what? I keep writing down three snacks, and I never do eat them. Wonder if I can just write down two snacks now. And you'll start to, when you collect those wins, that is where motivation comes from. That is where curiosity comes from. And you may notice that you start to plan a little bit less food because you're like, I'm leaving half of this on the table every day. I bet you I can take some of these things off or not. You can do it that way forever if you want to. Options on the plan are fine as long as they aren't permission to overeat. And you said, I'm only eating when I'm hungry, and you stop it enough. It doesn't matter what you leave on that plan at the end of the day that you didn't eat. I love that. Somebody, iPad says, I'm new. Welcome. When I weigh in on Friday, where do I post my results? Is there a special spot on Facebook? We do have a weigh-in post every Friday that you are welcome to post in. If you like the number, if you didn't like the number, whatever it is, we can coach you on it in that thread. If you're not in Facebook, you can post it in Ask Coaches and we'll help you with it there. But that is a great question. But you will see the post. It gets posted, I think, 5 a.m. Central or Eastern or something on Fridays. It's early. Hi, my name is Pri. I just joined 6 days ago. Welcome, Pri. I had a situation yesterday where I served my meal, but a smaller portion, but I ended up eating the entire plate, even while pausing. I found myself licking my plate. Yes, I will admit that. Girl, I've licked my plate before. Ain't no shame in that game. After I did that, I felt shame. Any thoughts? It's just because you think it's shameful that you licked your plate. That's totally fine. And eating to enough doesn't mean that you always leave food behind, Pri. Sometimes you served yourself a smaller portion, which is what I typically do, and then you ate it all. That could have been your enough. It's how you feel in your body. When your body has had enough, that's enough. It could be with half a plate left, you have that feeling. It could be you finish a small plate and you're like, I'm still not at enough, and you go get a couple more bites. It's not the magic of finding your enough isn't all about leaving bites on the plate. It is checking in. For me, like in the chat, you can put what y'all's enough signals is, and we'll get some going for pre. For me, it's looking for the best bites. That's it. I know when I start digging around to get that last little bite of my favorite thing, I'm at enough. Let's see. Oh, Karen said, just don't pick up the plate and lick it in public. Then you're good. She said she saw somebody do that one time. I need some tips. Foster says, I need some tips on how to turn things around when I'm in a slump with no BS, like right now. It seems to take too long from noticing to actually getting back to it. This leads to fuck it eats before I get back to doing the things. This is why I am on this call live. I love it. So here's what happens. Because, I lost 85 pounds with Corinne. So I may have gotten in a slump myself a couple times. I sure did along my way. And What I noticed for myself is when I was trying to get back into things, to pick one thing and get going again, I kept telling myself I had a lot of shoulds for myself, a lot of compare. But you, I mean, just waiting for hunger ain't gonna do. Like a month ago, MJ, you were drinking the water, you were planning, you were, following doable hunger, the scale was moving, you were doing all the things. What's water gonna do for you? Or what's just waiting for hunger gonna do for you? And that is what got me stuck. That is what really got me stuck, is me comparing myself to what I was doing before. So I want you to watch and see if you're doing that. And then whenever you pick something to work on, I would pick doable hunger first. Just wait for hunger today. Get your water, because water and am I hungry go hand in hand. They cousins, they kinfolk. And one is just as like you, water makes am I hungry easier. So I would just work on that for a week. And then when you think this isn't enough, but I used to, but I was doing this before, I should be doing this, I wish I was still doing that, be like, you know what? I'll get back there, but that's not where I am right now. I'm gonna be happy right where I am. I'll get the rest back. I'll get back to my habits. But it's okay to be right here, right now. And give yourself permission to do that. Being on this live is amazing. Get Corinne in your ear. Listen to those 365s. Get it on the podcast, right? Because once she gets teaching and preaching and doing all the things, like we get a fire lit up under us. Because I get excited. How many of y'all get like excited? Like you hear Corinne go off on a tangent sometimes, and I'm like, girl, I get so excited, like being at church sometimes. So make sure you get Corinne in your ear, work on hunger, and do not should on yourself, because shouldn't on yourself, it's never gonna work out. It's terrible. It's hard. Okay. Valerie said, hi, Coach MJ. Thank you so much for everything you do. You're so welcome. You are a light. I'm working on secret rebel eating tied to days when my wife's out of town. Even when I don't binge, I still mentally plan for it all week, fantasizing about secrecy, autonomy, cheese, cheese, like a cheater addict would. And it's so exhausting. How do I interrupt that buildup before it explodes? And how do I let myself be seen without turning it into a shame cycle? So you may have to take some of this to ask coaches, we can work through it, right? But I want you to think about a couple of things. What do you make it mean when you eat cheese and these things in front of your wife? What are your thoughts about that? Because that is probably why you're trying to hide that from her. It could also come from a pattern. Maybe you weren't allowed to eat when certain things when you were younger, and you had to hide them and sneak them. So that makes total sense as to why you would want to still do that now. It's going back and talking to that version of yourself, that had to do that, and letting yourself know you don't have to do that anymore. You have a wife who loves you, who cares about you. She just wants you to be happy. She doesn't care what you eat now. So it could all be coming from that. And then you could also, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong as well with looking forward to things and planning things, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So just even telling yourself it is normal to plan things you love. Normal eaters do that. Normal eaters plan things they love and they plan a time to eat it. And that is what I'm doing. My wife just happens to be out of town. How does that even feel? Because then there's no judgment. There's no shame. Normal eaters do this thing. Because I'm going to tell you, my husband hates oyster stew. He hates it. He can't stand an oyster stew. So anytime in the, not in the summer, but in the fall and stuff, if I know he's going out of town, which he never does, God bless him, or if he's got a meeting or something, do not think that for 9, 10, 11 days, I am like, I am going to eat some, I'm going to make me some oyster stew and I'm going to enjoy it once he's gone. Don't think I don't do that. And I do it for on purpose when he's gone, and I look forward to it. And I do. I even plan to overeat that, to eat to full, because I rarely get it. And he hates it. He can't stand it. And so it is normal to do those things. So start there, normalize it. Yeah, other people, I plan Chinese takeout when my husband is away. Yeah. What is oyster stew? It literally oysters, butter, milk, salt and pepper, and then I put hot sauce in mine with some oyster crackers. Oh, so good. Jane said, "Hi, I'm not a nighttime eater. If I overeat, it's generally in the afternoons. What are some of the lessons you would recommend that might be relevant for me?" I sort of disengaged from the nighttime eating lessons as my brain just said, "Nope." That's not you. Thank you. Yes, the whole first 20 minutes of this call was about how you're going to apply it if you're not a nighttime eater. So you're going to shift your identity around an afternoon eater. So when in lesson three, that's what I was talking about this morning. Corinne is talking about I'm becoming a person who doesn't eat at night. You're going to say I'm becoming a person who does not eat in the afternoons before dinner. Go back and listen to it. Listen to the whole thing. The whole thing. And every time you hear her say nighttime eating, you just insert in your little head afternoon eating. It all applies. Every word of that workshop applies. If you just like remove nighttime eating, put in afternoon eating, it applies every time. Weekend bingers, pull it out, put it in. Pull out, put it in. Drinkers of wine every night, nighttime eating comes out, drinker of wine comes in. All of it, every word of it. I know it's crazy. It's amazing. It's amazing. Lesson three in the nighttime eating, shifting your identity. I know, you know what, Jane? She said, it seems so simple when you say it. I know it does. And like, but that's why y'all got coaches, right? Because sometimes our brain is like, well, she's talking about this, so that must not apply. That's not my problem. But that's why you have coaches, right? That's why No BS is amazing. Because you just come on a call and or go in to ask coaches or post in Facebook and say, hey, I really want to participate in this nighttime eating, but it's not my problem. Here's what my problem is. How can I use this in my situation? And then we always have the answers. I mean, that's what's so amazing, right? Like, that's what makes No BS so different. That's what makes No BS women so different. Like, we go in and we're like, just like you just did, like, hey, how am I gonna apply this to myself? That's advocating for yourself. That's asking an amazing question. That is wanting to move yourself forward. That is shifting your identity. Like, that's No BS woman shit right there. Good for you. I tend to be crazy eating early afternoon. I'm trying to apply nighttime eating. Yeah, girl, that's what we're talking about. Will we be focusing on certain lessons of the course each week? Not necessarily. We do have a couple of them are a little bit more up targeted. If you look at the descriptions for the rest of the month, this one was just kind of like an intro. So since it's my call and I picked my favorite. I picked my favorite part of it. Oh, this is a good question. What's the best way to deal with the tension between the person you see yourself as now and the person you see yourself becoming? It's that thought level up that I was talking about. So if it's too far away, right? If it's too far and you can't get your grappling hook in it, you are going to feel tension. So you have got to find that thought, try on the thought like you're trying on some shoes, and see what your first scooch is. Because we're scooching over there, right? And so you got to find that first thought like stepping stone to get you a little bit closer, right? And so that is what is so important. Because like, for instance, this is a good example. When I decided I was gonna, because I drank wine every night, bottle of wine or six glasses, 4 to 6 glasses of wine every night. I wanted to be a person who did not drink during the week. That is a far cry. from somebody drinking 4 to 6 glasses a day. So I knew where I was going to end up. I knew I was going to, and eventually I'm going to become the person who does not drink during the week. I knew that's who I was going to become, but it was a long way. So the first step I made was I'm a person who only opens one bottle of wine a night. Only one bottle. That's it. That's me. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to be a person who does not open up a second bottle of wine during the week. I'm just one bottle. That's who I'm going to, that's who I am. I only drink a bottle of wine a night. That got me. I could believe that. I could believe that. But I closed my eyes and I tried on that thought like a pair of shoes. It felt very doable to me. It felt good. I knew I could do it. And so that was the first version of that new person I became. I scooched a little closer. Right? And so that is what you have to do. You have to find out the first version one of this person, right? Because the person who doesn't eat at night is like version 7 or 8. So you have to become version one first. So you figure out what that thought is. So Pam, I love this. I will not eat from tiredness today. I'm a person, I'm becoming a person who does not eat because she's tired. I love that. I'm doing well with nighttime eating. I've noticed I'm avoiding it by doing other things to keep busy. I want to sit with the urges and figure out what they are trying to tell me. It may be uncomfortable. What is the best way to just sit with an urge and listen? So you can go listen to some of Kathy's calls. Just go on the website under video replays, type in Kathy, and all of those how to feel the hard stuff without eating calls will come up. But if I were you and just like dipping my toe, Kathy, I always feel like I'm like, Kathy's gonna be like MJ, dipping my toe on Kathy's mess. But if that were me and I was trying to feel my feelings, I would probably set a timer because you have something that you enjoy doing, obviously, at night. So I would, if it was me, I would set a timer for like 5, 10 minutes. I would get out a journal. I would sit with the urge and I would just write about it while I was feeling it. And then I would just get up and go do the thing. Kind of see like a baby step into uncovering what might be happening. That's what I would try first. Just to start dipping your toe in it, taking some deep breaths. Kathy gives you a ton of stuff. The more you let it be there, the more you can learn from it. Yep. But if it sounds like too big a hill to climb to just sit and have a kumbaya with an urge, you can set a timer and then, figure out what's going on and then go do something else. And then the next night, maybe for 3 or 4 nights, you set a timer for 10 minutes. And then maybe after that, you're like, I think I can stay for 15 minutes. And you can increase the amount of time you're sitting there. Oh, look, Kathy's nicer than me. Start with 1 minute and just listen to yourself think. Your brain will entertain you. That is good. See, Kathy, you need to be on these calls with me. I'm struggling with nighttime eating. I'm staying with my mom temporarily while she is sick. I find myself junk eating at night. She has dementia, and I'm also learning how to navigate life with that. Any suggestions for pivoting? You are probably, if I had to guess, eating at night because of all the thoughts you have. Like, I've had to upend my life. There's so many other things I need to be doing. Instead, I'm sitting here. I don't even know this woman. She's changed so much. You need to identify those thoughts that are driving the overeat. Just like we talked about, pause for a minute, just like Kathy said, see what comes up for you. See what's going on for you in those moments. And I'm going to tell you, Dovey is your name, with a life transition like that, if private coaching is in your budget, I would 100% do it. 100%, without a doubt. If there is any way you can swing it, because you are dealing with a lot. You've moved your life over. You're taking care of a mom with dementia. You're in that like sandwich generation. Like, now I've got to take care of my mama. It was probably not on your bingo card, if I had to guess. I sure shit wasn't on mine, I tell you that much. And it's a lot to process through. But you first want to identify why you are eating at night. And I am sure it is from needing a break. You probably, if I had to guess, if you're staying with a mom with dementia, and it's mentioned in the nighttime eating course too, it's the only thing you're doing for yourself. You probably have thoughts all through the day of, I'm doing for everybody else. This is the only time I get to do something I want to do, like that rebel sort of feeling in the evenings. It could be coming from that as well. Go back and listen to the nighttime eating course. Identify those thoughts that you're having about needing to stay with your mom, needing to be her caregiver, what you deserve in the evenings, and take it all to ask coaches or sign up for private coaching if you can. Let's see. I have a lifelong history of using food, primarily crunching and salty foods, as a way to wake up. I'm becoming someone, I love this, Suzanne, who doesn't eat at night. I'm working on shifting to an earlier bedtime and other strategies. But I also munch and crunch to long drives. Are there any good substitutes for this desire to stop feeling drowsy? Pull over, take a nap isn't an option. Drinking water is problematic and it doesn't wake me up. I'd love to shift my thinking from I'm tired, I need to eat to I'm tired, I need to. I'm going to tell you something, Suzanne. A lot of y'all on this call is me. I used to always tell myself, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And finally, I asked myself one day, how much sleep are you getting? And I realized I'm tired was not true, but it was making me tired. I'm not saying that's you, Suzanne, at all, but I would definitely start there. I realized whenever I didn't want to do something, which driving is something I don't want to do, whenever I was avoiding something, I would just say, I'm so tired. I can't do that. And I'm like, girl, you are getting 8 hours of sleep. You don't get tired unless it's something you actually don't want to do. I started to recognize that. I was like, are you tired or do you not want to do something? I started asking myself. And y'all, I was not tired. But when I kept saying, I am tired, I would get what? Tired? Tired. Because I just kept telling myself I was. That's the first thing I want you to work on. The second thing I want you to work on is, I would drive with the windows down. I would just put the food in the very back. If you would like to, if you want something really crunchy to eat while you drive, don't eat lunch before you drive. Get some hummus and some carrots. That could be your lunch on the way. A healthy lunch, a nice crunch. Look, I made a rhyme. And then I also want to say this. Drinking water is problematic. Bathrooms. Drinking water, I did this too. You know, I used to drive my daughter to her dance competitions and I wouldn't drink my water. I would not drink my water because I didn't want to ask everybody to have to pull over and it was going to take us longer to get there and all that other bullshit. I'm going to tell you what I finally told myself, Suzanne. You deserve to pee. You deserve to pee. You do enough for everybody else. You deserve to get your goal of water for the day, and you deserve to stop for 3 minutes and pee. You just do. You have earned that right as a woman who probably takes care of everybody else in their life. You deserve to pee. Bathrooms are not problematic. It is what you make pulling over mean about you. I don't care if it takes you 10 minutes longer to get there. Drink your water and give yourself permission to pee. God bless. And I used to tell my husband would say, again, gotta go pee again. Yes, I do. I do enough. I'm the one load up this damn car anyway. You're gonna pull, I'm gonna pee. Because I deserve to. And I do. I used to never get my water in on dance competition weekends. Never. And then I'm like, what the hell am I doing to myself? Then by the time I'd get to the dance competition, we'd go out to eat. What would happen? I was underwatered. My flower would be wilted. And then my body was so hungry, and it wasn't even that hungry. It was thirsty because I hadn't given it water. You deserve to pee. I'm just saying. That should be our mantra. Who's getting the t-shirts? I deserve to pee. And then we'll wear them in the car every time we go. And if somebody says something, look at my shirt. I deserve to pee. Oh, that's very good marketing, Pam. Put it on a water bottle. Yes. That was just one little blurb, and I went totally off the rails on peeing. Yeah, and I'd buy the shirt. I eat to enough at dinner, but around 9:10, I've got actual hunger. Either eat, which means going to bed, having just eaten, or don't eat, then listen to my stomach growl in the bed. Don't know which way to go. Okay, great question. There's a couple of things you could do. Whatever time you've eaten, like if you've eaten at whatever time, 6, you probably are getting hungry around 10 o'clock. So you could adjust your bedtime to go to bed a little bit earlier. The other thing you can do, I keep a, this is the truth, y'all. I'm giving y'all all my secrets today. I put a protein shake in my coffee. I have a caramel something protein shake. So it helps because, I'm trying to increase my protein. So there's always one. I don't use a whole one for my coffee every day. It takes me a couple days to get through, but it's just adding a little bit of cream and a little bit in my coffee. And anyway, so there's always a little bit in there. You could take a few sips of a protein shake. So you don't have like heavy food on your tummy, but enough to knock the edge off so you could go to sleep. You could just try to go to sleep hungry and listen to your stomach growl. And then you could just be laying there and say, okay, take a little bit off of that left thigh, a little bit off of my ass, a little bit off of my tummy, and then see if you can go to sleep. But if you really can't, eat a little snack. Or if you don't want to have something like on your stomach, try a little bit of like a protein shake or something. Just a few sips, right? To knock the edge off of hunger. Because remember, every time y'all eat, you don't have to eat all the way to enough. So if you know that it's going to be a few hours till dinner, an hour or two till dinner, and you're hungry, but you want to be hungry for dinner, don't eat too enough. Eat a snack just to knock the edge off of hunger. If your stomach is growling and you're actually hella hungry before bed, you don't have to eat to enough. You don't have to do that. Just knock the edge off of hunger and then go to bed. Because a lot of times I think we forget that you can do that. You don't always have to eat all the way to enough. You can just kind of play around with it so you can be hungry when you want, or so that you can just knock the edge off of hunger and go to bed. Let's see. Karen fucking Brent. I thought things would be less stressful in my life after announcing my retirement, but other people are going batshit crazy with their requests for me. Girl, I'm doing fairly well with not handling the stress with food, but it's getting hard. Any ideas to get myself into the not my monkeys, not my circus mentality, and not take on other people's stress? Well, you can't take on their stress, right? Their stress belongs to them. Your stress is coming from whatever you're telling yourself. Oh God, now I've got to do this. I'm already leaving them. I better go ahead and get this done for them because it's going to make their, it's, I'm already going to make it harder on them when I leave. That's where your stress is coming from. You ain't taking on their stress. Their stress sitting over there all by itself. They're feeling it. They're experiencing their stress. Then you've got thoughts about their stress. That's what's causing your stress. Okay. So what are you telling yourself? I've been asked to write down everything I do and how I do it. That's fine. If somebody says they're leaving no BS, what do you think I'm gonna tell them to do? Write down everything you do and how you do it. Because half the people on this team, I don't even know what all they do. They probably do shit I don't even know they do. So just as you do a task, write it down. And then your thought could be, I am gonna do, but I problem solve and can't explain logic. Well, then that is not your problem. You can't make somebody have a problem-solving brain. You just can't. You can give them here's the path I take. to get to whatever it is. Here are the steps that I do, and the rest is up to them. The fact that they have no logic is not has nothing to do with you, and you can't give it to them neither. You can't even give it to them. If you wanted to, I can't give it to them. I cannot give them a problem-solving brain, no matter what I do. I can tell them my steps, but they'll never be me because I'm Karen fucking Brandt. You can't download your thought. That's what you're going to have to keep telling yourself. I can't download my thought process. I'm going to give them what I can, but I can't download my thought process. It's on them. I'm going to do the best I can, but there's a limit to what I can give them. My thought process, something I can't give them. I've already been asked to reconsider retiring. Of course, because you're Karen Brandt. Who wouldn't want you around? Karen, God bless. Marie says, oh, Maria. Sorry about that, Maria. Hey, Coach MJ, new member here. I feel like I've let so many things go in my life. I feel overwhelmed with all the stuff I need to sort. I move house soon. I want to commit to no BS, and I honestly think it's making me want to cleanse my whole life. How do I stop the overwhelm? I love it. First of all, Maria, get a calendar. That is going to help you more than anything else. Put down the time you're going to listen to no BS. When are you going to go through your living room? When are you going to clean out your panty drawer? When are you going to organize your kitchen? Put it all down. Show yourself what you absolutely have time to do and what you don't have time to do. Okay? That is going to calm you down in and of itself when you write it down. Put everything on the calendar in its place. And then also remind yourself, because we all get into like everything has the same priority. I do this at work all the time. I come in and I open up Slack and it's lit up like fucking Christmas. And in my mind, when I see that, everything is an A plus on fire emergency. Bada boom, boom. I'm like, oh my God, I've got like 20 notifications. I've got 20 emergencies. No, I don't. No, I don't. I start going through them. Which one needs my attention first? And that is what I start putting my focus on because our brains are designed to freak out. And when something's lit up like that and you're making a running to-do list in your brain, every single thing has like a number one priority. So you've got to sort that out. I have to do it every day because I open up Slack and I'm like, ah, I'm never gonna get out of this. That's my first thought a lot of times at work. I'm never gonna get out of here. There's so much to do. It's all got to get done today. No, it doesn't. But that's just where I go first. That's where my brain goes first every time. Every time I see it. And then I'm like, okay. You got 8 hours in this day, MJ. You got plenty of time. Just what's the most important? Do it first. And that is where you can cut down on overwhelm. But I do, I have a minor freak out every day when I open that Slack. I'm like, ah, it's not that bad. Or I go into Help Scout and I've got like 20 emails. I'm like, oh, and these are all members. I'm like, I gotta answer every one of those. It's very different, difficult. Let's see. I have difficulty determining when I'm hungry, so I eat when I think I should be hungry, because if I wait until I'm hungry, I will start to get low blood sugar symptoms, dizziness, weakness. If I go on regulated restrictive diet, no problem, but I just get so tired of being on a diet, I'm dieting all the time. I love this so much. So I want you to do a couple of things. Kathy, will you post in the chat for anonymous? The lesson in OBS that talks about timed eating, because a lot of times when you're not like when you join OBS and you've been dieting for 1,000 years, like we all have since we were almost in the womb, probably, your body doesn't send up hunger signals like it used to. It doesn't, it's like, well, you hadn't listened to it. So, hell, I'm gonna stop wasting my time sending them to you. And then the only time we know we're hungry is when we are like, and our blood sugar's low and we got all kind of problems, right? So there's a cheat sheet and no BS talking about other cues that you're hungry. And then you can do timed eating. So every like 4 hours, give yourself a little bit of something. And then once you start to feed your body regularly, when you haven't done it for so long, it'll be like, oh, she's gonna take care of us. Well, darn, maybe I'll start telling her again. Because she hadn't listened to this in a long time. Maybe I should start telling her when I start to get hungry. Sounds like she's got an interest in me again. We're gonna start talking back and forth. And so some of our members do have to use timed eating. If you're checking your blood sugar and you start to notice a dip and you know you're not hungry, I want you to eat. Always your health trumps anything else. Always, always. Even if you think I'm not hungry, you got to eat for your health. So make sure you're doing that. And it could be like every 3 or 4 hours. I'm not talking about going to the Golden Corral and eating a buffet. I'm talking about like, a protein and a fruit. I used to always, because I had gestational diabetes with my baby child. And so you couldn't go on shots, couldn't do anything. And so I liked peanut butter and apple or string cheese and an apple because you had to always have like one carb and a protein to balance it, whatever. And so I had those snacks that I would always go to. So make sure you're eating something that serves your blood sugar, number one. You might have to do timed eating and then look at that worksheet to see other, it's like thoughts and other cues besides like that starving, hunger, like stomach growling. I can't, I'm about to, like my mom, I'm about to chew the ass in out of a rag doll, like all that stuff, like that hunger. Because you want to start to eat now with the first whispers of hunger. I think it might be about time to eat. I'm actually getting a little bit hungry. I should go get something to eat. But we have turned that voice off for so long, so long. Sometimes it just, they quit sending it to us. Your body's like, girl, I ain't listening to you no more. Module 3 of No BS is all about hunger. Kathy posted, and then try those. See if you hear them, Anonymous, and then bring it over to Ask Coaches and let us help you. Valerie, I'm working on. Oh, we already answered that. Amanda said, I've been posting over the last week about how I'm dealing with depression. It is so hard not to eat through it. One of my hardest things is dealing with harsh criticisms. And sometimes I got a boss who has a habit of this. When she is having a bad day, she is harsh. Maybe she doesn't mean to be, but she is. She has a habit of being very belittling, and I feel like an idiot. By lunch, I'm eating two lunches to make myself feel better. First of all, Amanda, you've got a great thought already in here. When she's having a bad day, she's harsh. I love that thought. So when you feel like she's criticizing you, how does it feel to even say she's having a bad day? And she doesn't, the only way right now she knows how to handle it is to take it out on me. Because she doesn't know how to handle her emotions. That must be terrible. I would hate to be that way. I'm glad I'm not that way. When I'm having a bad day, I'm glad I'm not harsh. But she is. When she has a bad day, she's harsh. And I bet you, Amanda, if you look around, she's not harsh to only you. So look around. She's probably harsh to other people as well. And then you can collect evidence that it's not just me. She's just harsh to everybody. And she's saying so and so about Susie over there. And I know that's not true about her. Maybe what she's saying about me isn't true either. And then Kathy says this could be a nervous system response from your boss. Yeah. Have you thought about that's just who she is? I love that. Some people get that way when they are under stress. It is very true. It is very true. So try some of that on. Go through some of Kathy's, I've worked with her for 8 years. I love, and you can also tell yourself that, Amanda. I have worked for her with her for 8 years. She's been this way since the get-go. I don't want to leave this job, but I'm certainly not going to give her my weight loss today. And then just tag Kathy and ask coaches, and Kathy gonna work with you a little bit. Well, it is that time. I saw some people asking about nighttime eating texts. Make sure that you go under courses, nighttime eating, and you'll see where you can sign up for text messages. Oh, Jane has a good comment in there for her. So go in there. That is where you're going to sign up for text if you haven't already. Remember, we are going to be breaking apart the Sunday coaching starting next week. So excited. So you let us know if y'all need anything. We right here. I'm here to help y'all, whatever y'all need. You know that. So is Kathy. All the coaches are. So reach out if you need anything at all. And texting is for US residents only. Yes. Let us know if you need anything at all. We're here to help. We'll help you figure it out. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of y'all's day, and I will see y'all later. Bye, y'all.